You may be seated. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my hope come? My hope comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Welcome this morning to this memorial service for our dear friend, Ed Monahan. And I thank you today for the wonderful opportunity that those of us are up here today, and also friends who have come today to minister to the family and pay respects. Thank you for this time. Thank you that we can gather together in the name of the Lord and rejoice in a man that we all loved and that we know God had a very deep love for as well. So let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you. We thank you for salvation first and foremost, Lord. We thank you today that any man anywhere who will repent, turn his heart towards the Lord, turn 180 degrees and quit walking towards the darkness and walk towards your light, can experience salvation. And today we rejoice in the fact that Ed was such a man. He served you all his life. He preached your word. He took care of your flock. He nourished your people. He befriended so many. And he was such a pleasure to be around. And so, Father, today, as we come together to honor his memory, we as well honor the Lord who gave his life so Ed could experience what he's experiencing right now, eternal life. So, Father, we bless you today. We worship you. We lift up the mighty name of Jesus. And by faith, we proclaim we know where our brother is. He was not forsaken. The Lamb of God paid the price for his salvation, and that's what he experiences at this time. We pray your comfort upon the family. We'll all miss him dearly. But we don't grieve as those who have no hope. And so this morning, we turn our hearts to you, the God of all comfort, the God of all peace. Thank you for your presence here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Join together as we sing Blessed Assurance.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory mine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washing his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, always at rest. I am my Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Good morning. Ed and I shared a story that only God could write. And he always taught me, allow God to set the tone. And Ed poured everything that he had in him through Christ in him for me. And so we allow God to set the tone this morning in memory of Ed. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. That's who Ed has been, will be forevermore for me. This is who Ed was for me, just for a moment. When we meet, if I made a reference to God or the Bible, Ed challenged me. He began walking beside me before I knew what would happen or what could become. When I had a need for God to hold me, he gave me Ed's arms to be held by. Ed knew and knows how to be real, how to be himself, how to love God and his family. I learned much from Ed about God, life, love, and of course, at times, how to get away with almost anything. Little did I know the adventures we would have. But with Ed, he was a stickler. Al, God changes lives and he saves souls. But there was that other side of Ed that we all got to know and came to love. And he endeared himself to us. He had many little quirks. I'm getting to know Shirley and her family, and Ed allowed me to be a part of his family for a short time, for a while. One of his favorite sayings has been, he who smiles when things go wrong has found someone to blame it on. And he provided many occasions to do this with many people, and of course, myself. He'd take full advantage when this time came. For example, one time Ed and I had a truckload of things that needed to go to the dump. It had rained the night before. I said, do you think we take the highway and take the back way? Oh no, take the back way. Won't be a problem. Just getting to know Ed and Shirley. Alright. We head down the back way. It's a little muddy. It's a little muddier. I think we're going to get stuck. Ed, what do you think? Oh, just pull over where it's dry and put it in a four-wheel drive. All right. So we did that. We're making better headway, headed toward the back way toward the dump. Halfway through, when the truck is knee-deep in mud and on the sides and the front, this is what I hear from Ed. Boy, Shirley's going to be upset with you. This is her truck. Sitting there like, and Ed is dead serious. So there's nothing we can do. I said, so what if I'm planning already? We make it to the paved road. We unload everything in. So what do you think? Do I wash it? No, it'll be fine. She'll understand. Deadpan. So I start driving a little faster, trying to kick off mud. I'm thinking about going by the car wash. Goes, Ed, no, I got it out. I'll explain to her when we get back to the house. We get inside. Shirley, how'd it go? Al muddied up your truck. He was he who smiles when things go wrong has found someone to blame it on. But he did this with his family as well. Just some beautiful quirks. Charlotte was sharing that I got the privilege to hear that she went to K-State, graduated. Ed would say, if I would have had enough money to give her, she could have gone to a better college. But I couldn't say much because I'm a Texas fan, so he always kept me in my place. But Ed always had laughter. He always gave of himself. He always had that giving love. He was my Paul. Still is my Paul. He's teaching me right now. He's teaching me right now to be who God has called you to be. Serve him each and every way. He goes, Don't try to be good. Don't try to be perfect. Be what God has called you to be. But that's always that side of him that he turned that conversation into something different. When Shirley would go play bunco or bridge, Ed would always say, Shirley, how much money did you make? And he'd want his cut. No matter how many nickels and dimes it was, he wanted his cut. And back to Shirley. I guess, Shirley, did you pay for her first date that he took her out to? Mom's buying. And somehow I got pulled into that. One time, out of the goodness of his heart, I called and said, I'll be back from Washington County later. Hey, we'll go to lunch. I walk in. We're going to lunch. Shirley's buying. He always had a way of being able to turn things a different way. And he always left money in his wallet, and he'd accuse Shirley of laundering money. There was just a way about him. He had his serious moments, but he had his moments where laughter was the best remedy for everything that he did. Ed loved to tell stories, and one of his favorite stories that he shared with me the first time we met about the time that Ed and Shirley met. Now, Ed would do this for shock factor right out of the gate. He'd say, this is how I met Shirley. How'd you meet her? Well, we slept together the first night we met. And I'm going, this cannot be who Shirley is. Ed is ornery. So I said, Ed, would you call Harvey that for me? He goes, yeah, I will. He goes, I was on a train. And what he said was, I'm going to find my girl. And he got to sleep with his girl in a train. But the shock factor for me was that I can't believe he's telling me this or sharing this with me. But he loved to tell stories, to put things at ease. They fell asleep together. But then he'd tell another story. For their 40th wedding anniversary, he took her out to the dump and told her, you can have anything that you want. Whatever it is, feel free to have what you want. Was it in the pickup? It was in the pickup. He was prepared. But those are the moments where it's called making memories. The family's telling the story how if they were going the wrong way, they were making great time and going the wrong way. Or if things weren't going right, they were making memories. Memories of Ed that last a lifetime for many of us. And being able to be with the body believers of Scottsville, there's a lot of memories and a lot of laughter and a lot of joy. This past year had been harder though. But no matter how hard it became, Ed was still singing. Blessed Assurance was his favorite song. And the one thing that we love about Ed could pray with a passion. He loved his God. And we know that he's whole, he's complete. And through the laughter, we know those green eyes are twinkling. Those Irish eyes. I was twinkling and smiling. I questioned at times what the purpose was for Ed and I. And I see it here today. He touched so many people, loved so completely, and knew how to reach out. The one thing about Ed, he was God's ears to hear with, his eyes to see with, his arms to reach out with, and above all, his heart to love with. That's who Ed has been for many, many people. And surely, I didn't want to be, you know, I went back and forth on sharing this story. About a month and a half ago, Shirley and Ed adopted three guys that she mentioned. Todd, who lives across the street, Ron, who lives outside of Scottsville, and me. Todd gets to switch out the light bulbs. Ron brings lunch. I'll let you know what Shirley and Ed had me do. We're coming back from Belleville from one of our granddaughter's volleyball game. I get a phone call. And Shirley, on her cell phone, "Hey, Al, could you come over to the house? The stool is topped up." She was on her way to a card game. I said, "Okay." I walk in, and in true Ed fashion, I kid you not, he walks by the front. I said, "Ed, what's going on?" And Shirley stopped up the stool and she left. And my wife was with me, Crystal was with me, she's going, and I looked at her, she looked at me, that can't be right. But this what made me think though, Shirley called me from a cell phone. Later I found out she was going to a card game. But that's who Ed has always been and always will be, is making memories. Making memories. And I did notice there's 3 Oreo cookies out on the table out front. My cut is 1, he would always take 2. We did that one time, we snarfled some Oreo cookies. I found them and I just fessed up the other night to Shirley. He loved Oreos. He loved his wife, he loved his family, and he still does. He'll carry on in each and every one of you and each and every one of us. He's our dear friend. And he'll be missed. And this beautiful person that I met about over a year and a half ago gave me a poem that they shared for their family member. And she said, "Live your life in this manner, but also share this with someone who's lived their life in this way." And it's a beautiful poem. And this is who Ed has been to everyone and for us today. "I've traveled paths you've yet to walk, learned lessons old and new. And now this wisdom of my life, I am blessed to share with you. Let kindness spread like sunshine. Embrace those who are sad. Respect their dignity, give them joy, and leave them feeling glad. Forgive those who might hurt you. And though you have your pride, listen closely to their viewpoint. Try to see the other side. Walk softly when you're angry. Try not to take offense. Invoke your sense of humor. Laughter's power is immense. Express what you're feeling. Your beliefs should be upheld. Don't shy away from what is right. Be courageous and be bold. Keep hope right in your pocket. It will guide you day by day. Take it out when it's needed. And when it's near, you'll find a way. Remember friends and family, of which you are a precious part. Love deeply, love truly. Give freely from your heart. The world is far from perfect. There's conflict and there's strife. But you still can make a difference by how you live your life. So I'm very blessed to know the wonders you will do because you're my beloved family and friends, and I believe in you." I'll close with this. Ed always said, "He who smiles when things go wrong has found someone to blame it on." For me and for us today, he who smiles when things go wrong has found his God to lean on. We know your Irish eyes have a whole new twinkle now. Blessed is a man and woman and family and friends that gather here today to have known him and made those beautiful memories. Thank you.
That's the kind of friendships that Ed instilled in people. I want to read for you this morning, and I realize how important my part in the service is today. Ed is with the Lord now. There's no question. Those of us that knew him knew his faith. Absolutely no question about his eternal life. One thing just recently, and I could share so much too, but one thing just recently that surfaced in my life when Ed went home from the hospital this last time, in the nursing home. I'd drive by occasionally because I go to Sunset home all the time. And Ed would be sitting on the porch. And I could not drive by without stopping, getting out and going over and saying hi to Ed. Sitting and talking with him. When I was around Ed, I felt appreciated. I felt loved. Sometimes I felt a little threatened. Because you didn't have to do much for him to take a shot at you and look. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so you had to be careful what you said and how you said it. But I felt so accepted by this man. And I saw a quality in Ed that I want for myself. And those of you that knew him well, this church where he pastored for 7 years, you all have an intimate, deep relationship with him as your pastor. But wouldn't you say with me that Ed had certain qualities that when you were in his presence, you were saying a prayer deep down in the recesses of your mind, Lord, I want to be like him. Amen? I want to be like him. That's what Ed did for me. In a quiet way, he was a mentor for all of us who walk with Jesus Christ. He faced a lot of problems. His life was not trouble-free, like no life here in this world is trouble-free. But Ed was a guy that wouldn't let the culture, problems, or difficulties in his life shape who he was. And that is absolutely, that is a difficult thing to do today. And I admired him. I don't know if I ever told him that, but I admired him for that. We were having coffee with the pastors every month in the basement here at this church. And the seniors and the pastors gathered. Anyone can come, but we gathered together just to have fellowship and coffee and goodies. And I come for the goodies, but I don't know if anybody knows that. And Ed and Shirley would come. It was like lighting up the room. Knowing he was there, and if there was a seat next to him that was open, I would get up and move and go closer to him. Because that's the kind of person he was. That was his gift to us. And that was God's gift to us through Ed. He made us feel that way. And we'll all miss him dearly. But it won't be long. We'll see him again. I want to share with you Ed's favorite passage of Scripture, and I do this a lot. And I never get past the point of realizing the depth, the meaning. When you stand up here and you read someone's favorite passage of Scripture, it is no small thing. Because what we're doing here, I'm going to read for you out of the entire chapter of John 14, one of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible, in the New Testament. But as I read through this chapter this morning, I said to myself, no wonder Ed was the guy that he was. If this was his favorite passage of Scripture, it's not surprising that he became who he was. He allowed the Scripture and the Word of God to shape his life. So this morning, no small thing, I want to share with you my brother's favorite passage of Scripture. Jesus said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it weren't so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you might be also. And you know the way where I'm going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. For now on you know him and have seen him." And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?
The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father, abiding in me, does the works. Believe me that I am the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I will not ask the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, and he may be with you forever. That is, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you after a while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will disclose myself to him. Judas said to him, not Iscariot, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that it is said to you, I go away and I will come to you again. If you loved me, you would be rejoiced because I'm going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you. For the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up, let us go from here. Absolutely filled with promises of eternal life. No wonder Ed loved this chapter so much. And for all of us today who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who serve him and walk with him each and every day of our lives, Ed is an example of a man who overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. I want his memory in me to live on. And undoubtedly there will be times in my life coming up when I may be wavering, I may be in doubt, I may not know what to do, and I'll remember it. And I'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt what Ed would have said to me at that time. And I'll make it through. I'll keep the faith. I too will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. Shirley family, thank you so much. We love you, Lamb. Thank you for the great honor to read this scripture today. It's no small thing. It's what God had there. Thank you.
Shirley made it clear she wanted this time to be a celebration of life. And I think the laughter, you know, one of the loudest laughter was coming from Ed, if he were with us today. I can't help. We just came up with a pretty serious scripture and one of my favorites also, but Shirley, I'm sorry. I've got to share one of Ed's praises from Sunday school class not long back. And Al, you were correct. Sometimes Ed's prayers were deep and fervent. The man was a giant spiritually. He also had an incredible sense of humor. And I remember one day during a recent time, our Sunday school class begins with a time of praises and prayer requests. Ed pipes up and said, "Got a praise this morning." And we were all waiting to hear Ed's praise. "Shirley's not pregnant." Remember that, Shirley? One of my other favorite memories of Ed, the last Sunday we were together, Ed was seated right down here about four rows back. And in the traditional song service, Pastor David has had a sermon series on light. And I just decided, you know, one of the songs that I remember, and I was fairly certain everyone in our congregation would have known and grew up singing, "This Little Light of Mine." So we decided to adopt that as kind of our theme chorus that we mixed in the song service. And my last pictures of Ed in my mind is Ed singing, "This Little Light of Mine." And even though he was among one of the older ones in the congregation, he was one of the most animated. And he thoroughly enjoyed that chorus. And so as we sing, "I'll Fly Away Now," let's have that in our minds of our brother Ed. He is totally set free now. He doesn't have to worry about falling over backwards or forwards. In fact, he is leaping and dancing and running those streets of gold and celebrating with his Lord and Savior forevermore. "I'll Fly Away." Let's sing it together.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die,
to encourage other preachers. You know, a lot of times you're kind of checking how I would have done it and things, but there was nothing but support and love, and I just really appreciated about that. And I know Ed had surely told me she wanted the message of Jesus Christ preached today. And so we want to honor Ed and his life, but also what makes his life still speak to us today. Well, if this is all we have, if all we have is a memory, we ought to just be in grief and no hope. But we have a hope today. And it's because of those words out of that favorite passage of Scripture where Jesus said before he was to be arrested and falsely accused and lay down his life on the cross and take your sin and my sin in his body on the cross, here's what Jesus said. Do not let your heart be troubled. Now, why would Jesus say this? Because there's a lot of trouble in this world, isn't there? Our hearts have a tendency to get troubled. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The story is told of a gravestone in Indiana where this epitaph was etched in the stone. It said this, pause, stranger, when you pass by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me. And as the story goes on, the rest of the story, we might say, is someone bought a plot next to it and erected a stone and said these words in that stone. To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. Well, we gather here today to honor the life and testimony of Ed Moynihan. Without a doubt, we can say we know which way that he went. And that truth changes how we view this day and the days that follow. And as we honor Ed, we bring our grief, our pain, our tears, our concerns, our memories, as well as our hopes and our love, our faith, and of course our laughter. Because Ed filled our lives with so many experiences. And there are no amount of words that could adequately capture his life, influence, and testimony. We knew the way that Ed went when he passed from this life to the next. His destination was made sure, not because of his efforts, not because he encouraged others, not because he brought laughter into our world, but because he placed his faith in Jesus Christ as his only hope of salvation and of eternity. And Jesus knew his disciples would be troubled by the events that would ensue in just hours after him speaking this. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. I want you to notice the personal part of God. I am preparing a place for you. In fact, the book of Revelation tells us that when God comes to restore us and take all of us back, he says, God himself will wipe every tear from our eyes to those that are his children. This message is for you. This message will give honor to Ed and the life he lived, but the application of this message is for you and me. Ed has lived his life. His faith has been made sight. But there are some decisions we have to make. There are some values we need to hold dear. There may be some beliefs that we need to say, this is where I'm going to place my faith. The writer of Ecclesiastes tells us that God has made everything appropriate in his time, and he also has set eternity in their hearts. So we wonder at times like this if this is all there is. Even most skeptics hope for something more than this. And the Bible teaches us that we have a purpose in our beginning, that God created us. He formed us in our mother's womb, and there was a purpose in our beginning. And the Bible also tells us there's a purpose in our ending, that when we die, it is not the end of us. There's this thing called eternity, and we are eternal beings because we were created by an eternal God who always was, always is, and always will be. In fact, he breathed into man the breath of life. And because our beginning has purpose and our ending has purpose, life itself has purpose. And one of the things I never could understand by secularists, those that don't believe the Bible, is they would have us say that your life has no meaning in its beginning. Just random adaptations, mutations, you just happen to be here. And you know what? When you die, you just go back to the ground. There's no purpose in your death.
And I have to ask myself, and I hope you ask yourself, if there's no purpose in your beginning, and if there's no purpose in your ending, what would ever make you think that there is purpose and meaning in life itself? And yet there's something within us that says, life needs to have meaning. This isn't right sometimes. There's so much pain. Why do we feel that? Because God has set eternity within the heart of man. And God breathed into us his eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You see, the Bible also tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The gospel message of Jesus Christ is bad news before it's good news. We have to recognize we have all sinned. And that sin means that we cannot in of ourselves meet God's standard. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. What is death? Well, physical death is separation of the body from the spirit. Spiritual death is separation from our spirit from the eternal God. How do we get back to that? The wages of sin is death, separation. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, the reason why Jesus came, we're getting ready to come to the Christmas season. The reason Jesus came is he came, he was born of a woman, he became like us, conceived of the Holy Spirit, he was without sin. And he lived a sinless life. And while he lived that sinless life, he didn't just show us what God was like and through his compassion and his healing. That wasn't enough. Jesus came to die for your sin and for mine. And so when he died, it wasn't because he had sinned, it was because I had sinned, because you had sinned. And the Bible tells us that God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we could be made right with God. After Ed got out of the army, I understand that when he was in the army, he went to chapel services because he thought that's where the prettiest girls were. Yeah. But after he came out of the army through a course of events, and Shirley would be happy to tell you that story, he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. You see, to follow Ed, we would be content, for we do know which way he went. There are many words to describe Ed. You've heard them all right already. Generous, loud, friendly, boisterous, and encourager, honoring. I loved in the obituary, they said, an Irish man to the core. And one of the things I noticed about him is how kids enjoyed being around him. One of my boys especially enjoyed him. And he, you know, after he heard that Ed had passed away, he goes, Dad, I got an impersonation of Ed. I said, what is it? He goes, you got to pull the mic away because Ed was loud, as you know. You know, hey, buddy, how you doing? And we shared a neighbor between us. And their boys would talk to him, go out on the porch and have conversations with Ed. Kids were attracted to him. And it's amazing to see how purposely he reached out to others, especially when you know the background of his story. He was raised in an alcoholic and abusive home. He was neglected, had 8 other siblings, and they pretty well just fended for themselves. He enlisted in the Army at age 17, and he had his own struggles with alcohol and his past. He did meet Shirley on that train in Kansas City, and he told me the same story I'm sure he told many in this room here, that he slept with her on the first night. Although, you know, I've just learned when people tell me their story not to be shocked, and, you know, I wouldn't have expected it was Shirley, but, you know, people make all kinds of things. And so I went months believing that was how it happened. In fact, it was only just recently in Wichita that I heard the Paul Harvey part of the story where he says, well, he likes to say that, you know, but let me just tell you how it really was, you know. I knew, you know, God has saved us all. He's forgiven a lot of sins, you know, in all of our lives. And so it wouldn't be surprising, you know, that he would forgive us and you'd have such a godly man and woman had that been the story. But, you know, in fact, you know, Pastor Bob, you remember the first time he was at Coffee with the Pastors, you know. And this, some of these stories are going to bleed over, you know. But Bob sat down to him and said, "How you doing?" He goes, "Ah, we got a big problem." He said, "Well, what's that?" He goes, "I think Shirley's pregnant." You know, so he would just, he would get a good laugh and he would just keep working it over and over and over again. And I do have here Al. Ed likes shock with his humor. Okay. And he loved life, he loved his wife, his family, he loved his God, he loved his church. I chose a unique passage of scripture. I've never preached out of Ecclesiastes 9 for a funeral before. And I'm going to give you kind of the cliff notes because we've been here quite a bit here. But it starts out just saying, you know, the writer of Ecclesiastes talking about all the pursuits. You try to get, you know, more women, more relationships, more money, more power, all those things. But you know, life just has a way of being an equalizer, and death itself has a way of taking everything you've tried to work for away from you. And so the writer of Ecclesiastes talks about meaningless, meaningless. You know, vanity, vanity. Everything's vanity. What good is it if you accumulate all this stuff if you can't have it? You can't keep it in your life. And it starts out in Ecclesiastes 9:1. I have taken all this to heart. Remember, Jesus told us to let not our heart be troubled. It says, take this to heart and explain it that righteous men, wise men in their deeds, are in the hand of God. You want to know how to get in the hand of God? You turn your heart over to God. Man does not know whether he will be loved or hated. Anything awaits him. We don't think that's the way it should work. If you love God, things ought to go good for you. You ought to just have doors open for you. But, you know, in this life, we see some righteous people suffer some pretty difficult things. And others seem to just live fully in the blessing. But you know what righteous people do? People that are right with God, they say, God, whether good or ill, my life is in your hands. Because I recognize that the common denominator of every one of us is that we're all going to die. And what the writer of Ecclesiastes says, it makes this, it juxtaposes the righteous man and the evil or the unbelieving person. And it starts off that same way for the unbelieving. It goes, it's the same for all of us. The one fate for the righteous and for the wicked, for the good and for the clean and for the unclean, for the man and the who offers sacrifice and the one who does not sacrifice, so for the worshiper and those who doesn't worship, is the one who's a sinner and one is a swearer, so is the one who's afraid to swear. There is an evil that is all done under the sun. There is one fate for all men. And what's the saying? Death's going to come to everyone. Death is no respecter of persons. It doesn't care what age you are, what gender you are. Death is going to come in everyone's life. And if all you look at is this life, you might as well eat, drink, and be merry. If that's all there is, don't believe in God. But the writer keeps coming back and he says, but there is something greater than life. This physical life here. You see, if you knew the day of your death, you would change the rest of your days. And I believe that Ed could face life the way he did, with all that bad background from his upbringing and experiences that he had in the home that he came out. He could face life with laughter because Jesus Christ radically changed his life. And not only did it forgive him, but it allowed him the power and the courage to forgive others in his life. You see, for the believer, we recognize that death is not an accident. It's an appointment. The Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You see, our sin is going to be judged. And for those that place their faith in Jesus Christ, our sins have been judged in the body of Jesus already, the wrath of God against sin. But if you're here today and you do not have not accepted Jesus Christ, understand that after death, it's not the end of you either. There is an appointed time. It's not going to be an accident. It's going to be appointed time. And after that, the judgment. Ed would tell us with all the gusto of his laughter, choose life in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and life. So what this means is death should energize us. It shouldn't paralyze us. It should make us live life to the fullness. I think you'll know now why I shared Ecclesiastes chapter 9, because here's what it says. If you have God at the center of your life, go then, eat your bread in happiness and drink your wine with a cheerful heart, for God has already approved your works. Can I make this scripture an Edism? Go then and eat as many Oreos as you want. Share one Snicker with Al. Okay. Get ice cream and buy it with Shirley's beer money. Okay. That's what he always said, right? Shock value. Okay. And do it with a cheerful heart. Do it with exuberance. Do it with gusto. The Message paraphrases it this way. Seize life. Eat bread with gusto. Drink wine with a robust heart. You see, live life to its fullest because you know that at the end of this life, it's not the end and better things are on the other side. Ed enjoyed his food. It's interesting because in his home, he went to bed many a night as a child, hungry. But he didn't, that didn't make him bitter. Instead, it made him committed. He said, my kids are never going to go to bed hungry. And he worked hard for his family. And it was an act of love when he did it. The scripture goes on. Oh yes, God takes pleasure in your pleasure. Dress festively every morning. Don't skip on colors and scarves, the Message paraphrase says it. I couldn't get away from this passage when I heard what the family's memories were. And I thought of that Mother's Day, Jay, when you and your brother Steve went to go get Mom something to for Mother's Day. And they found an orange velvet bikini. And, you know, Jay tells a story. He said, Dad didn't try to, you know, dissuade us from that at all. I think he probably tried to direct him that way. But, you know, that was the most memorable Mother's Day gift at all. So dress festively every morning, Shirley, okay? Don't skip on the colors or the scarves, okay? You know, the Westminster Confession tells us man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And, you know, Ed did that. He saw the fun in the relationships. And he brought joy and fun. Enjoy a good meal. Family laughter. Enjoy the festive clothing. And then here's what Ecclesiastes says. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life. Boy, wasn't that Ed. He has given you under the sun, for this is your reward. Life was hard, and Shirley would tell you the first 7 years of marriage were extremely hard. You know, she was raised by a single mom. Everyone had to pitch in. Ed was raised basically by himself, and he did everything on his own, and it was hard. There was a lot of stuff to work through, changing careers, raising the kids. He gave Shirley an awful hard time. But it was his way of loving her. He adored Shirley. One of the times that I was with them in the emergency room, Ed was working through his list of one-liners and jokes. It's like the bump on his head just knocked loose all these little witty comments he would always make. And I just mentioned to him in a moment, alone with him, I said, laughter's a good cover for your fear and anxiety, isn't it, Ed? And he said, you got that right. And I said, is it easy, is it? See, he could honestly say, this is difficult. I don't like this. And yet still be the man that he was. And he went on to say this. He got serious when I said that. He goes, you know, I don't know what I would do without her. And the feelings were mutual. Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And surely many of us observed how you loved each other, how you cared for each other, and how you cared for him. In fact, when we bought him, I met with the family. Krista Bryant here playing the piano stopped by with some snickerdoodles and just some love. And, and words for the family. And I asked Krista if she would share something. And the first thing that she shared was just how Ed prayed at the end of Sunday school. You know, we already heard that. But later that evening, Krista sent me this. You asked me this evening about what Ed added to our class, because Ed and Shirley went to their adult Bible study class on Sunday mornings. Well, not about our class. I do have one memory that stands out. When Steve and I visited with Ed, Ed began to tell a story and he lost his train of thought. Shirley quietly waited until he looked over at her and asked her to finish his story. I was impressed with his trust in her to finish his story, as well as her willingness to just pick up where he left off. The respect and love they had shown each other underscored the depth of their relationship for me, and I'm glad we had the opportunity to know them both. Thank you, Shirley. The Bible goes on to say, for the hard work of staying alive, make the most of each one. Whatever turns up, grab it and do it heartily. One of Ed's sayings is, if you can't make someone laugh, you've wasted a day. And he made us laugh. But you know, behind all the laughter was his faith in Jesus Christ. It was the driving force of his life. And Ed recognized Jesus Christ as the only one who was able to forgive his sins and give him the hope of heaven. And he believed this, and he lived this truth, and he wanted it for each and every one here today. But he can't make it happen. We all, see, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And I can't promise you that life will be easy. You know, you can follow God and tragedy still hit. But here's what you know, when tragedy does hit, you have someone that will walk with you. You have the presence of God himself that will be with you. And when you leave this life, you will know that he has your future in store. You see, death is a common destiny for each of us. But after the destiny of men, after that destiny of death, it's no longer common. You see, the wages of sin is death. But if you know Jesus Christ, you've already been delivered from death. Because Jesus said another time to a sister who was grieving her brother's death, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. So believe in me, Jesus would say. As we fast forward to Ecclesiastes chapter 13, here's what that writer says. The conclusion, which has all been heard, is, fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether good or evil. So if you know where you're going, the Word of God tells us, have a blast while you last. That's what Ed did. Have a blast with him. Enjoy life. Enjoy your spouse. Enjoy your family. And see the goodness of God and the gifts that God pours into your life. See, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. All these songs that have been selected today were at Ed and Shirley's request. There's a song that he loved called The King is Coming. And Jesus is coming today. You know, that's the truth today for us to hear. But I just want to give us an opportunity, and I think Ed would want us to do before Don comes and sings that song. Just every head bowed and every eye closed. Let's just pray. Father God, we come before you right now. And knowing Ed can give us laughter and hope for a day or two. But knowing Ed could not give us eternal hope, we have to know the one that our friend Ed knew, who holds eternity in his hands. And your word is extremely clear. The only way to do that is to acknowledge that we've all sinned and fall short of God's glory. So, Father, the best we understand right now, we just say, Father, I know that I've done some wrong things in my life. I've hurt people, even people that I've said that I've loved. And I believe that Jesus came to make me right first along with God so I could be right with others. So I believe that Jesus took my sin on the cross, and that sin was taken with his body and it was buried in the grave. And I thank you for the truth that Jesus did not stay in the grave, but he rose again on the third day, leaving my sins behind and helping me to be made right with God. And Lord, today, to the best of my understanding, I ask you to forgive my sins and give me the hope of eternal life. So when I face my own death, or when I live this life, or when Jesus comes for his church, I will embrace it with the same kind of gusto that Edwin Hand did. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Is empty, no more traffic in the street. All the builders' tools are silent, no more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors in the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the king comes through the gate. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I've just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed, broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged, hand in hand, stand all aglow, who were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. I can see the marching throng. The fury of God's trumpets spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding. Heaven's grandstands, they're all in place. Heaven's choir, it's now assembled. It starts to sing Amazing Grace. Join me on the chorus, please. The King is coming.
Thank you so much for being here. Your love, your prayers, the food, all the things that you, the many expressions of love, have meant so much, so very much to them. And she'll be greeting people after the service. And would you stand with me as we pray? And Ed wasn't a big one for form prayers, but he did love our Lord's Prayer. And so we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together in closing, and then the family will be dismissed, and the ushers will come and help you do it. We will say the words debt and debtors as we pray this prayer. Let's pray it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Father, we thank you that you are near the brokenhearted. And I thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And today we walk through life thanking you for the life as well of Ed Moynihan. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.